Thank you guys for leading us tonight, and I appreciate y'all being here. I hope that you've had a good Christmas week, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and hope that you have a very good day tomorrow as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question. What would you consider to be the perfect gift? Maybe for you it is a couple of week trip to an island, tropical island somewhere. Maybe there's a specific piece of jewelry that has come to your mind. Maybe you're more practical, and as you think about the perfect gift, it would be maybe a tool that could be of great help to you. Or maybe it's something personal. Maybe the perfect gift would be seeing a loved one that you haven't seen in a long time. Have you really thought about the amount of time and effort that we spend talking and thinking and looking for the perfect gift for friends or family members or loved ones? Christmas has become really about the gift, the going and getting the perfect gift that people will be pleased with, or receiving the gift, something that we want and are expecting. Every TV commercial that you turn on, have you noticed? It's the perfect gift for him, or it's the perfect gift for her, or it's the perfect gift for them, or it'll change their life. It'll make them happy this Christmas. And so everything is about getting the right gift for the right person. Now, I'm not bashing gift giving. I actually like to get gifts. I like to give gifts. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm just saying how sad it is that we spend more time and energy on the gifts that we are going to give, or the thinking about the ones that we're going to receive, than we do finding our greatest joy in the perfect gift that God has already given to us. You know, we love John 3:16. Probably most of us could stand and recite John 3:16. We wouldn't have to get our Bibles out. But I wonder if we have maybe missed the meaning. For God so loved the world that He gave. God so loved that He gave. The infinite, unwavering, grace-laden love of God compelled Him to give the perfect gift to those who were not deserving of it. The metaphor would be we deserve coal in our stockings, but far worse. We didn't deserve this gift, but His love compelled Him to give it to us anyway. And it was the perfect gift, not because it fulfilled wants and dreams, but because it fulfilled the greatest need of mankind. It was the answer for our sin. There's no greater gift that God could have given than the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah, we read of God's coming judgment and coming salvation upon the children of Israel. And it is given by the prophet Isaiah. He has called Isaiah to go to Israel and to declare this coming judgment, and yet not to leave them with just judgment, but to also say, but yet there is deliverance coming. And there is a great deliverer who will come, and He will also deliver you. And in prophesying, or as we read through these chapters, we read prophecies about the Messiah. And in prophesying about the Messiah, Isaiah attributes to Him these characteristics all throughout. Specifically here in chapter 9 of Isaiah, where Ryan read in verses 6 through 7, its names. Let me read this to you again, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, because we're on this side of the cross, we know that this coming deliverer, this Messiah, was Jesus Christ. And he didn't just come to deliver Israel from their enemies, but he came to deliver mankind from his sin. And so he gives these names, and these names are characteristics. Now, when we think of names, we think of just a label to distinguish one person from the other. But if you go farther back in history, that wasn't the case. They gave names to talk about character and personality. And so when we come to these names here in Isaiah, it's not saying he's just going to do these things. What Isaiah is saying is that this Messiah, this deliverer, would be these things. He would embody these characteristics. And it's in these names that we discover that in the giving of Christ, God gave to every sinner, that includes everybody in this room, by the way, the perfect gift. Why? Because he would meet our greatest need. So I want to walk through each of these names. I just want to talk about them. First, we see that he says, calls him Wonderful Counselor. We see that God gave us the gift of one who had his wisdom, God's wisdom. Sin is deceptive. One of the most deceptive things that sin does is convinces us that we know more than God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never really heard someone say, yeah, I'm smarter than God. I think there's at least a little bit of fear in people's lives that they wouldn't say that. But the thing is, we live like we are smarter than God. We want our rules. We want to live in our way. We'll get into certain situations. We ignore what God tells us to do, and we continue to do our own thing. We live as though we are smarter than God. So in essence, sin makes us fools. It is foolish to think that you and I can know more than God about the things of life and the things in the world. It is foolish to think that we are smarter than God. And the evidence of our foolishness lies in the results of our decisions. We make decisions in life that have disastrous results. Just look around you. As we look across the landscape of history, what we see is that we don't get any smarter. We just keep making the same decisions over and over, even though they keep having the same results. I think that's the definition of crazy, according to someone. You do the same thing the same way over and over and get the same results, or wanting different results, then you're crazy. But that's what we've done through our history. Man has done the same thing, rejected God, done his own thing, gone his own way, and we get the same disastrous results. Sin blinds us to the truth, and so we call good bad and we call bad good. We see beauty in what should be appalling. We speak lies and believe it to be the truth. No wonder our world is in such a mess. And we double down on our foolishness by thinking that the government or psychology or social change is the answer. If we could just have the right president or the right group of people getting together for social justice, then all of this would just work itself out. Listen, God didn't send Jesus to come and put a Band-Aid on our foolishness. He did not come to give advice on how to live your best life now. Jesus, as the Wonderful Counselor, came to rescue the fool from his foolishness. See, you will never find the joy in life that you want and that God intends for you if you do not receive the Wonderful Counselor. Only he can give you eyes to see the beauty and the wonder of God's wisdom and give you a heart that is able to respond in obedience to God's will. And unless you see the glory of God's wisdom, then you're not going to go after it. You're going to continue to do your own thing, follow your own wisdom, and have the same results. Christ is the perfect gift because only the Wonderful Counselor can make the fool wise. Only he has the real answers for life. But Isaiah continues and he calls him Mighty God. Number two, we see God gave us the gift of one who wielded his power. Sin doesn't just make us foolish, it paralyzes us. We can no more be what God wants us to be in this life than a quadriplegic can get up and walk around. Sin's power has a hold in our life that renders us unable to live as God intended. However, Jesus came with the power of God because he was God and is God. And he demonstrated his power over sin's curse as when he was here on this earth, he healed the sick, he made the paralyzed to walk, he raised the dead to life. God didn't give the gift of his son so we could receive better health and therapy for our paralysis. And the reason for that is because our diagnosis is so much worse. We're not just paralyzed. The Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. God gave Jesus so we could be raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave defeated sin's curse. It defeated death for us on our behalf. And so those who have received the gift of Jesus have also received the gift of eternal life. We have been given spiritual breath and the promise of eternal life with God. Christ, as Almighty God, is the perfect gift because only he has the power to raise the dead to life. But number three, we see God gave us the gift of one who extended to us his love. Isaiah calls him Everlasting Father. Now, Isaiah is not confused here. He doesn't think that the Messiah is the first person of the Trinity. That's not what he's getting at. He is saying that the Messiah would come and demonstrate the love of God. And also that through the Messiah, Jesus, we would have the opportunity to know intimately God's fatherly love. We love to think of God as Father. It brings up imagery of protection, provision, care. It's natural for us to understand these things as loving. And our inherent longing for these things has actually been given by God. Why? So that we would find the answer in him. So that we would seek him. However, sin separates us from these blessings that God intends for us, for you. So God didn't give the gift of his son so we could become better acquainted with him. He gave Jesus as a demonstration of his supreme love so we could know his ultimate care for us as Father. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection, Jesus demonstrated the lengths God was willing to go in order to bring right relationship between him and between man. Also, it's only through faith in the sacrifice and the resurrection of Christ that we're welcomed into God's family. It's your union with Christ that at that moment God becomes your Father. He fully receives you. He welcomes you as part of the family. And as our loving Father, he lavishes on us his blessings. He gives us all the rights and privileges of being his children. Jesus is the perfect gift because only he could show the Father's care perfectly and give us access to the Father's everlasting love. But finally, Isaiah says he is the Prince of Peace. God gave us the gift of one who brought us his peace. I think we all want peace. We desire peace. I would assume that you desire peace in the world. But I think it's a little bit more specific than that. I think we would probably be happy with just some peace at home. Peace in the house. Peace in the marriage. Peace between parent and child. Or maybe you long for peace within yourself. The problem is sin always divides. It separates us from God. It brings conflict between others. It brings conflict even within ourselves. So governments will never be able to broker peace on the world stage, and your best efforts will never bring peace to your home. Our selfishness and our self-righteousness will not allow that to take place. God did not give Jesus, his son, to bring a pause to the conflict. God gave Jesus to bring an end to the conflict, both outside and within. Jesus took your place on the cross, and when he did, he bore the wrath that you deserved so that you could have eternal peace with God. When you unite with Christ by faith, you are given his righteousness. That means you are holy, you are perfect. And so there is no more separation between you and God. You're no longer God's enemy, so you'll never experience God's wrath. And the forgiveness and the grace you received from Jesus brings inner peace. No longer do you have to carry the guilt and the shame of sin. Your guilt is no more because Jesus took your guilt. Therefore, you have been forgiven. You don't have to carry around the weight of your guilt. It was given to Christ. He bore it on the cross. As well, you don't have to bear the shame of your sin or the sin that's been committed against you, because Christ bore the shame of sin on your behalf. Your identity is now found not in your sin, not in what has been done to you, but in the grace brought to you by Christ. You've been given a new name. The Bible says in your union with Christ, you are now beloved. You're an heir. You're a disciple. You are redeemed. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. And the inner peace that Jesus brings can lead to peace with others. Guilt has this way of bringing self-righteousness into our lives. And our self-righteousness causes us to judge others harshly. We don't extend grace to them. We look down on others with contempt about we're better than them. It's the only way we can make ourselves feel good about ourselves is putting them down. No wonder our homes are so volatile. We're not willing to admit that there's wrong in our own life. We're self-righteous. The shame that comes from our sin or the sin of others toward us can cause us to withdraw or to put on a mask. And so we either pretend that others can't know the real us, discover our failures, discover our hurts, or we just avoid them altogether. And so no wonder our sense of community has been shattered. But listen, when the Prince of Peace takes your guilt and when the Prince of Peace takes your shame, you can have peace with others. Why? Because you don't need your own righteousness anymore. You rest in the righteousness of Christ. You don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend to be something that you're not because you're wholly accepted by God. Jesus is the perfect gift because as the Prince of Peace, in him we can find true peace with God, true peace with ourselves, and true peace with others. All of these names collectively demonstrate that Jesus truly is the perfect gift. Why? Because he's the only one who could defeat sin and its effects on man. But listen, like any other gift, God's gift of his son is only yours if you receive it. Tomorrow you're going to wake up. There will probably, hopefully, be gifts under the tree for you. And someone is going to take that gift and they're going to go, "This is for you." Well, if you stand there with your hands behind your back and you do not receive that gift will not be accepted by you. It will not be yours. You'll never discover what's inside. You'll never discover the fullness. It'll just be a box that's pretty with a bow on it for the rest of however long until you receive that gift. And in order to receive the gift that God has given, you must submit to his rule. Notice in verse 7, Isaiah says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end." The peace that Jesus brings is eternal. However, if you want his peace, you have to submit to his rule. Where his government or his rule is, there his peace is also. And for that matter, his wisdom and his power and his love, However, the rule of Christ is not a burden. Well, I've got to accept the rule. I've got to do all these things. It's just a burden. It makes my life unhappy. That is not what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, it promises something different. Christ himself said this in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. That is his rule. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, the rule of Christ is not a burden. It is a blessing. This is because his rule is that of a loving, benevolent king who desires to use his resources and his power and his rule for the good of his people and the glory of his name. But you have to be subject to the king. And to be his subject, you must submit to his rule. You cannot, like is on the front pages all the time, just walk into America and say, I'm an American citizen. There are rules that you have to submit to. And certainly back then, if there was a king who had a kingdom, you didn't just get to walk into the king's house and say, yeah, I think I want to live here. I'll be part of the kingdom here. If you were going to do that, you have to submit to the king's rule. That's how it works. If you wanted the protection of the king and the blessing of the king and all that came along with being in his kingdom, you had to submit to his rule. Listen, you're going to submit to something. Either sin is going to rule your life and continue to bring division and destruction and ultimately death, or you can submit to the gracious rule of Jesus and you can find wisdom and power and love and peace. Listen, don't you want to receive the perfect gift that God is offering you tonight? We want to give you the opportunity to do that. Listen, what a perfect time here on the eve of the celebration of God's sending of the perfect gift, the birth of his son, for you to submit your life to him and to be saved from your sin. Will you bow your head, close your eyes with me? Listen, if you want to receive this gift, the Bible is very clear. You have to admit that you're a sinner, that you have rebelled against God. You have to put your faith and trust in the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection for your sin. Not trusting in yourself, trusting in what his work on the cross and the resurrection has done for you. And then you have to put your faith and trust in him and cry out to him and ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. It's that simple. If right there where you're sitting in the quietness of your heart, you pray this to God, you mean it in your heart, dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have broken your law, rebelled against you. But I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I know that Jesus was your son. I know that he died on the cross for my sins. And that he was raised from the grave. And right now I am putting my faith and trust in his sacrifice for my life. Jesus, please save me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I submit myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen.